This is Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research here at the Manhattan Institute, with one of a series of podcast interviews with the winners of our 2011 Social Entrepreneurship Awards, the prizes which recognize privately conceived approaches to public social problems. I am joined by Jeffrey Canada, the founder and chief executive officer of the Harlem Children's Zone and the 2011 winner of the William E. Simon Prize for Lifetime Achievement in Social Entrepreneurship. Starting out by working with families in just one Harlem apartment building, Jeffrey Canada has built an organization which now serves 10,000 children and 10,000 adults in a 97-block section of Central Harlem, where its programs are working to break the intergenerational cycle of African-American poverty. Its cradle-to-college efforts include charter schools, whose students perform better than statewide averages for all students, a baby college for parents of newborns aimed at making sure kindergartners are ready to learn, and a support network for Children's Zone students now enrolled at four-year colleges across the United States, including at some of the nation's most selective schools. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
I am really excited to be with you today.
I'm going to ask you a slightly provocative question. I know it won't be the first time you got one.
Okay, sure. Shoot.
A couple days ago in the Wall Street Journal, there was a letter about charter schools from a college faculty member here in New York. The last paragraph reads like this: "Any organization concerned with equal educational opportunities should be concerned with the rate of poverty, which is often correlated with and is the cause of poor performing schools. To enact meaningful, lasting educational reform, we need to focus on altering the impoverished environment in which some students subsist, rather than on changing the type of schools these students attend." What do you think?
Well, you know, I immediately reject that kind of thinking. So based on that, until we could solve all of the issues of poverty, we should allow the children who happen to be born poor to essentially get an inferior education, which doesn't prepare them for a life of employment and a chance to fulfill their complete opportunities. I think that's a terrible statement. I think it's untrue. There is absolutely no reason that we can't change our practice. You know, it would be one thing if we were trying all of these different things and saying, oh my God, nothing works. We have become convinced that we can't change anything. And then when it doesn't work, we say things like, well, it must be poverty. I think that those of us who get paid to educate children have to be prepared to educate those who are really disadvantaged, those who have real learning disabilities and all kinds of challenges, as well as those who have advantages that people often take for granted. So, you know, I hear talk like that a lot. It really disturbs me because it apologizes for a system that has failed certain children literally for decades, to the detriment, I think, of those children and to society at large.
And how do you understand, feel free to refer to specifics of the approach, the Harlem Children's Zone as a rejoinder to that kind of pessimism?
Well, look, the first thing is that we realize that you've got to work very hard. You know, we can't get our job done working the traditional hours that schools work. We have to have a longer school day. We have to have a longer school year. We have to make sure that we hold our teachers and our leaders accountable. We've got to look at the data to make sure where kids are failing, that we're thinking about what we need to do to catch those young people up. You know, it's funny because people sort of force you into a position of saying you don't think these issues of poverty matter. I absolutely think issues of poverty matter, and anyone who has spent time being poor, and I spent the first part of my life being very poor and born in the South Bronx, a very poor mother, four boys, no father, I knew how difficult it was dealing with all the issues we had to deal with. But to suggest that just because you're poor, that we as educators can't provide, I think, strategies to help those kids is absolutely wrong. Often what it means is that those of us who work in the field are going to have to do things differently. And so we do things differently. We do care about the issues of health and mental health and dental health and sports and drama and all of those kinds of things. We absolutely care about that. But in the end, our job as educators is to make sure our children are prepared to go to college and to be successful in college. And we hold that same standard for all children, regardless to how poor, to how disadvantaged those young people came to us.
I had the sense, having been fortunate enough to visit the Harlem Children's Zone, that you have even bigger fish to fry, if I might. I had the sense that you're trying to create a culture of optimism, a culture of achievement once again in the black community. Is that too grandiose, or do you see some of that in what you're doing?
Well, look, I see a lot of that, and I'm prepared to be just totally transparent about this issue. In the black community, we have to encourage, teach, instruct, and mentor our young people so that they see the importance of education, the importance of working hard, the importance of adapting the middle-class kinds of values and attitudes that have helped huge numbers of Americans sort of move from one social class to the next, where children have given up, where they think, you know what, I can't get an education because I'm poor, as you suggested was written in the piece by the Wall Street Journal, where families have decided, you know, I might as well just get the kids something, even if they don't deserve it, because, you know, what else can we expect of our kids? When a community has not stood up and said that we want this to be order, we want it to be safe, we want it to be clean, when you don't have those things going on, it has a dramatic impact on young people. And we want to change the culture so that the idea of going to class and being successful and working hard and being thrifty and frugal and all of those kinds of things are taken for granted in the communities we're working in. And I think that's going to be a huge asset for our community.
There's always talk, and this will be the last question, about the problems of the black family are paramount, are stifling, are too hard to overcome. Do you feel that through the Children's Zone you're addressing those indirectly, or do you just have to take what's given to you?
Well, look, we hold ourselves accountable for kids who come in whose families are our partners, and those kids whose families really don't want anything to do with us or the work we're doing with their children. We hold the same standards for all kids. Our hope is that this next generation of kids, so my 700 kids I have in college right now and the hundreds and thousands more that we're preparing to go to college, that they will be real partners in the education of their children. But we're not suggesting that we are going to sacrifice this generation while, you know, waiting for this next generation to come in and be more prepared to be full partners. Do I believe that you've got to push families, you've got to challenge families, you've got to say to those families, you have to turn off the TV, turn off the video games, make sure these kids are studying and they take study serious? Absolutely, yes. And for the families that listen to that and are moved and motivated, you know, God bless them, but there are a group of families that simply, no matter what we say, they're not going to respond. And we've got to educate those kids, too, so we break this cycle of poverty. And we know every time we get a kid in college and through college, it's not just that kid, but that children's kids and their grandkids who will have broken the sort of chains of poverty for the rest of their lives.
Thank you very much. That was Jeffrey Canada, founder and chief executive officer of the Harlem Children's Zone and the 2011 winner of the William E. Simon Prize for Lifetime Achievement in Social Entrepreneurship. I'm Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research here at the Manhattan Institute. This has been another of a series of podcast interviews with the winners of our 2011 Social Entrepreneurship Awards. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Howard.